Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanksgiving, transforming hearts and lives. You know, maybe I'm a little naive, maybe I'm a little simplistic. I've been called those things before. I've had people who've disagreed with me throughout the past. I'm one of those guys who believe that says God created the world in 7 days, and I believe it was 7 24-hour periods that he created the world. I'm just kind of simple that way. I believe what the Bible says. So I guess that's why I'm Missouri Synod Lutheran, and I think that's okay. So I also believe, because I'm simple, that everything I need to know for life, is in the Bible. I really do believe that. That everything God wants me to know has already been put there. He's revealed it to me. In fact, that's part of the theology of the cross that we as Lutherans hold dear, in believing that everything God wants us to know, he's already told us. And if we don't need to know it, he doesn't tell us. Now, there are things we do want to know, and that's great. And sure, we have cars and airplanes, and he gave us the knowledge to build that on our own. That's not really in the Bible, part by part, how to do those things. But everything we need to know, he tells us. And one of the things I think is key in our lesson from Paul tonight is something that he tells us about anxiety. You see, anxiety, to be quite simple and to be quite layman in the definition of it, is nothing but worry. Sometimes, in my case, it can actually be a chemical deal going on in your brain. But many times, anxiety is just produced from us worrying over and over and over. Either way, anxiety is not good for us. You see, anxiety will lead down a dangerous path, because anxiety does lead to deeper worry, and deeper worry ultimately leads to fear. And what do we know about fear? Fear is the opposite of love, right? And God is love, right? And so if God is love, fear is the opposite of God, so therefore, fear comes from whom? Satan. God gives love. And so tonight we're going to listen to those words of St. Paul for a moment. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every opportunity, give thanks. Do not be anxious. So let me tell you a story. I was a very anxious person to the point of great fear. Now, Gary's shaking his head, yes. And I say I was an anxious person. I still am an anxious person, but not nearly as bad as I used to be. My wife will attest to that. I was always a very anxious child and always a very anxious, more anxious person than I am now. One of the things in my life that I was most anxious about, and so if, turn off the recording, because if anybody says this, I'll deny it, okay? So if, was money. And I've still dealt with that off and on for a long time. That's why I hate dealing with church budgets, because I worry about money. I'm anxious about money all the time. And so if I don't have to look at a church budget, thank the Lord, praise the Lord, sing his praise, that's what I'm thankful for at Thanksgiving. Not having to worry about church budgets. But I was scared to death of money. I was anxious about it all the time. I think a lot of that happened because as I grew up, my parents were divorced when I was about 11, 12 years old. And during the divorce process, my dad was mad at my mom, so he quit his job. And to get back at her, he filed bankruptcy before the divorce was final. And that ruined everything. And so financial worries quickly became a part of our family. Quickly. My mom was a hairdresser. She worked very hard. And I was just thinking today on the way home, as I was thinking about this message, I have no idea how she raised 2 kids on a hairdresser's salary in Tennessee, charging $8 for a haircut. I don't know how she did it, but she did. God provided. But we were always a little bit anxious about money. And I think that carried over into adulthood. And I was worried about money. I was worried about money. I was worried about where it was going to come from. I was worried about hoarding as much of it in the bank account as possible. Until one day, a wonderful counselor of mine said this, who was a Christian counselor. Instead of being anxious about money, thank God for the money you have and for what it allows you to do. Thank him that you can buy a new suit. And when you do, thank him for it. Thank him when you're able to get a new car. Thank him when you're able to go to the grocery store and get your groceries. Thank him when you're able to put your offering in the offering plate. Thank him with every penny you spend out. And it was pretty amazing, his advice, because it's exactly the advice St. Paul is giving tonight. In everything, give thanks. And what I began to notice is this anxiety began to decrease in my life. The anxiety began to go away around money. And so I started trying it on other things. And let's talk about that for a little bit. Living a life of thanksgiving truly does transform our hearts and our minds and our lives. You see, the reality is living a life of thanksgiving, a life that thanks God for everything that it has in every circumstance, whether good or bad. That's what St. Paul is saying. He says, I know what it was like to have, I know what it was like to have not, but still I gave thanks for God, to God, because I give thanks in every circumstance without ceasing. My life changed, he said, and so has mine. Well, I've realized that when I am anxious, whether I'm anxious about money, whether I'm anxious about driving in traffic, whether I'm anxious about a surgery, whether I'm anxious about whatever it may be, if I stop and I give thanks to God in that moment for what I have and for what he's done for me, and I pray against that anxiety with thanksgiving, the anxiety goes away. It's pretty amazing. My doctor used to give me Klonopin many years ago. This works actually better than Klonopin, I promise you. It really does. It's pretty amazing. It's the best medicine ever. It's God's word. When we're fearful, and we all get fearful, right? There's not been a time in our lives where some of us haven't experienced fear. And fear can come in many forms. Fear about worrying about our children. Fear about worrying about our jobs. Fear about, you fill in the blank, our aging loved ones, whatever that may be, right? When we're fearful, giving thanks to God for the circumstances we're in and for the gifts and blessings he gives us casts away that fear. When we're worried, it works like magic. When we're mourning, giving thanks leads us into praise to God and helps us to see the resurrection in our lives. It's really true. You know, the weirdest thing that happened when we lost Jonah and Samantha, I had two different pastors all those years apart tell me the same thing. Give thanks for the circumstance you're going through. Give thanks for the life that they have and the life that they have now. And it worked. Not that I didn't mourn, but it changed my attitude. It changed my life. It transformed my heart. Holding grudges, lacking forgiveness, when we suffer from jealousy or envy, comparing ourselves to others, when we're upset about our leaders and our government. And the list goes on and on. I encourage you to stop and give thanks. Because when we stop to give thanks to God, whatever situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, our attitudes change. Now, let me pull out some science on you. We scientifically know, and it has been proven, that when somebody is thankful, the chemical composition of the brain changes. Dopamine and all the receptors of the brain that are positive receptors, including serotonin, actually increases in the brain, meaning you get happier. You get more joyful. You feel more like praising. This is scientifically proven. The other thing that's scientifically proven is that when we're giving thanks, because those receptors are increasing in our brain, the corners of our mouths go up, meaning we begin to smile. Did you know scientifically that when the corners of your mouth go up, it is impossible to be depressed or sad at that moment? Because you get an overrush and abundance of serotonin into your brain. This is how God has made us. He has made us to give thanks. He's made us to be happy and joyful and praise-filled. This is a wonderful thing from God. This is why I tell Lutherans when they come to communion, don't be so straight-faced. Smile. Enjoy that gift. Give thanks to God for what he's given you. Because this is the life he calls us to live. And he's designed us, scientifically proven, designed us to experience the blessedness, the peace, and the joy that comes from living a life of thanksgiving that transforms our lives. We also know that thanksgiving works because it's a crucial part of a 12-step program. If you look at any 12-step program, whether it be Alcoholics Anonymous to Narcotics Anonymous, any 12-step program that goes on across the world today, one of the basic things they teach the person who's addicted is to be grateful. To be grateful in life, to be thankful for whatever they have in every circumstance. Why? Because it changes their lives. It changes their hearts. It changes their souls so that their eyes will be open to see the good that is going on around them. I'm firmly convinced the problem with our culture and society today is we spend too much time grumbling about the government, grumbling about what we don't have, grumbling about what we don't like, and that's why our society is pretty miserable in its existence today. If we take the time to heed the words of St. Paul, to give thanks in every circumstance, to praise God, to not have anxiety, to let worry and fear and all those things go away and drift aside, can you imagine the love that would start flowing out of God's people because there'd be nothing in the way to block it? Living a life of thanksgiving is living the life of faith. I love the story of the lepers. Here you got these 10 guys, and they're all standing aside, and they see Jesus, and they're standing at a distance because it was commonplace on that day. If you had leprosy, you weren't allowed near the village. You weren't allowed on the main paths. So you had to stand at the side because it was contagious. So they're standing on the side, and they're waving, "Hey, Jesus, have mercy on us. Come heal us." And Jesus goes over, and he doesn't say too much to them except, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed, Scripture says. That's pretty amazing, right? And this is what happened next. One of them turned around to run back to Jesus, and what's interesting is we learned about one of them and the other nine. One of them, the one who returned, was a foreigner, a Samaritan, a non-Jewish person, an unbeliever. Well, some of them were believers, but not the way the Jews thought they should believe. They were outcasts. The other nine, Scripture leads us to believe, were Jews, his own people. The foreigner came back to thank God. And what Jesus says is powerful. Get up. Get up. It's interesting. The Greek there implies more than just rise or get up. It means, man, stop bending down and get up. Your life has been healed. Go and live in faith. Your faith has made you well. See, that's the life of faith. A life that clings to Jesus in every moment and in every circumstance that we go through. A life that clings to Jesus, that gives him thanks for the good and the bad. Brothers and sisters, stop for a moment and think, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. So very much. In our country, in our own lives, in our past, in our present, in our future, we have so much to be thankful for. Just like the leper, we have been cured from an even deadlier disease. You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Scripture says, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for us. He sent him into the world to, as we learned in our children's message from today from our future pastor, he sent him into the world to die for us and to forgive our sins. He sent him into the world to die for us and to take on our sinfulness so that we could have his righteousness, so that when God looks at us, he sees us as perfect people. He sees us as Jesus. He sees us because of baptism as his sons and daughters. He died for us and then he rose for us, coming back into new life to assure us that we too will be raised from the dead and ascended into heaven to prepare a place so that we will be with him forever. You see, everything's already been taken care of. The whole story's all worked out. I remember when the movie Titanic came out, I always told people, why would I want to see it? I already know the ending. The ship sinks. We already know the ending of our story. And it's a joyful one. The ship doesn't sink. We live forever. We live forever in paradise, in mansions that Jesus himself is even preparing for us now. And in light of everything that happens in this world, whether it be past, present, or future, in light of everything, whether it be war or death or plague or famine, in light of everything, what better gift, more powerful story, more wonderful, miraculous, awesome gift there is than to know that God already has us in his hands, that our eternity is secure, and that we will be his forever. You see, it goes back to the very beginning. Thanksgiving transforms hearts and lives and souls. We don't have to be anxious or fearful or worried anymore because Jesus is our all in all. In his name, amen.